one every day. I start getting up and be like, yo, this is my day. Someone gonna call me and tell me, hey, we're gonna accept you. This is my day. I just kept saying that. And as crazy as it may seem, once I fixed my mind to keep saying that and believing that, sure enough, I got like 4 different calls calling me. Like,
hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Eric B. is the host of the Life and Times of Eric B. podcast. His mission is to inspire people to take action and achieve their goals. Eric noticed his knack for motivating people as he engaged in conversations with friends and family. He shared how he overcame setbacks by changing his mindset. As Eric shifted his thoughts, opportunities presented themselves. He discovered his passion for motivating others to change their thoughts and lives. Eric believes you must plan your work, then work your plan. His podcast empowers people to make wise, courageous choices. Eric, great. Yes. You are the host of, as you said, The Life and Times of Eric. And yes, it looks like a pretty fun podcast. You have quite a personality. And you cover lots of different topics. I was listening to something about video games or life or I'm excited because it seems like the crux of your message centers around motivation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. So how, Eric, did you come into this space of motivation? How did this podcast start?
Well, the podcast actually started, crazy enough, when I was in Atlanta. I moved out to Atlanta, and then one day, I guess it's kind of random, I was like, hey, I really want to discuss all the different crazy things I've been through. Because when I had moved out to Atlanta, I got a job with the Hawks, and you know, that was great. And then I left there and went to corporate America, bounced around to startups, worked at a Fortune 500. And then I kind of saw a lot of things that was happening. And I was like, I'm just going to do a podcast. I think that around this time, it was like 2014, 15, you know, podcast was kind of slowly taking off, but it really hasn't got that peak yet. No ringer, nobody was buying deals for $90 million. Kind of wish I had stayed consistent. I could have been blown up by now, but that's another story. But so I started it, and I just kind of, you know, started. And I realized when I was starting that I talked myself into something I didn't know I could do, in the sense where I promised 100 episodes, and I didn't realize that in the podcast world, you need to batch your episodes before you send them out. And I was literally doing an episode a week, doing work, coming home, recording an episode, racing, trying to put it up, trying to do it every week. And then I realized, I was like, see, look at you. You opened your mouth too quickly. You don't know what's going on. You haven't done the proper research. But it did teach me to be consistent with, you know, telling people, you know, that I'm doing this and why I'm doing it. But overall, to answer your question, I started because I had a lot on my mind. I want to discuss different topics. And I felt a lot of times the things that I usually have conversations with people about, they like it, they enjoy it. And I just like, hey, let me just speak my voice. Because I realize a lot of times we all have a great voice, mm-hmm. but we don't speak it because we're nervous. We mm-hmm. feel like people are going to tell us what we think is wrong. We're going to feel like the naysayers are going to bring us down. And I went through all this in the beginning, kind of nervous, kind of like, what are they going to think? Is someone going to listen and be like, I hate you. You're a negative person. Mm-hmm. How dare you talk about the kids? You know, whatever it may be.
Right.
But as time progressed on, I got better at it. And it went on. But I will say one thing. And my brother did tell me, starting off, he was like, hey, your podcasts are hour long. Who do you think you are? The Breakfast Club? Nobody wants to hear all that. So I kind of, So I learned in the beginning, like, you know, you need to start condensing it. So it's good to have family around. They'll tell you what it is.
Well, yes, your brother. Good for your brother, I guess. Yeah, I mean, how did at first were you like, wait a minute? Is it?
Yeah. I was kind of like, is that a positive or is that a negative? He's like, look, you're not the Breakfast Club. I don't think anybody will hear you talk for an hour. Because in the first season, like, because I'm 200 podcasts in. And the reason I do a lot of podcasts by myself is because I want to get through the whole working things out on my own and kind of being able to hold the room and the attention of myself. Because like I've watched your episodes, I can tell you've done this and you can do it by yourself. You can do it with others. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with me, even though 200 podcasts in, you still got to figure out what's you, what brings the crowd in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people jump out there and they want to, I want a podcast. I want to have all these people. But then you look at their episodes and it's dull. It's flat. They haven't figured out their voice and how to bring their voice into another person's voice to come together to make it a great episode. Because a lot of times you can ask a question and depending on how you ask it, the dialogue can run with it and the dynamic of have the chemistry. So when I realized this, I was like, hey, I don't want to jump out there and just interview people and I don't know what I'm doing. So that's why I've been slowly climbing, doing the 200 episodes on season 3 now. Just been finding my voice, finding the messages that I want to get, realizing how I want to direct my messages before I go out there and get people the wrong thing. Because you got to be very careful when you speak to people and people listen to you. So
Right.
I say all that to say, in the first season, it was an hour. A lot of episodes were an hour. And then I realized that a lot of times people don't have that. And then I was new. So I'm new and you don't know me. And then you're like, it's an hour. You're like, So I started cutting it down to 15 to 20 minutes because it was able to be quick, sharp, and to the point. And then you're willing to listen to more episodes, especially if you didn't know me. Once the Joe Reagan effect or, you know, topper name effects come, like the Tim Ferriss's or, you know, like how you have it with your show, then I would like to go up longer because I feel like I have more conversation. But in the beginning, when people don't know you, it's all about the attention deficit. Like, how are you keeping my attention? Like with the Breakfast Club, and he used that example, people watch because people know who they are. Right. If you didn't know who they are, I wouldn't watch them for no hour. I could do something else.
Right. Yeah. So I kind of want to unpack what you said, because you kind of said a lot already. So in the very beginning, because I think this is important when people are thinking of starting any platform, or especially a podcast or a blog.
Right.
Did you know specifically, because you are very much centered on this like motivational space, did you know that motivation was going to be your focus, or was it kind of like an organic growth thing where you just, because you mentioned that you had like your previous conversations with people, you noticed what people really responded to when you were speaking or talking to them in these conversations. So were the crux of those conversations, was that like based on motivation and inspiration?
Yes, it was definitely based on motivation and inspiration, in the sense where I would have conversations with friends, in the sense where it would be example, hey, man, I didn't get the job. And I'd be like, you know what? They look on the bright side. What's the bright side? You still got your health. Maybe like, I never thought about that. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, you can have all the wealth in the world, but if you ain't got no health, you mean health is wealth. I'm like, and I'll be like, and I'd say like, hey, ask Steve Jobs. Even he couldn't buy health. And they'd be like, I didn't think about that. And then it's little small things like that, but that be able to be the motivation to trick your mind from going, I didn't get the job, but I do have my health. I do have a good mindset. I can change around my focus into going after another job. And maybe this job wasn't for me, but at the end of the day, I could still keep going forward and go on to another job. I could apply for another position. I could start another business because I do have the things I needed and I need to be thankful for. Because a lot of times we'll be so locked in that we didn't get something that we'll forget all the positive that we did get. So from taking those conversations into going on our podcast, I've started finding more of my voice in season 1, because a lot of questions were, I was discussing like, hey, do you like to move? Hey, does this, how do you feel about this? And then when I started to talk about those different topics, it's like, it will all go back to motivation on it, being positive, you know, finding yourself.
Right.
And then it kind of all came together, like you said, organically, just kind of like, okay. And then people listen like, yeah, man, listen to your podcast about moving. It was like, you made me feel real good, even though I'm going through different issues of being put out, being deported, or not being evicted. I should still be positive about it because I am moving and it's a new jump. It's a new step. And, you know, it's motivation. And when you hear people give you your feedback, you're able to kind of bring it all together. So that's all I like to say. Season 1 was a lot of finding myself.
Okay. So where did that come? Like, where did you develop that desire, it sounds like it's like almost this desire to encourage people or motivate people. Is this something you noticed that you had as a kid? Where did this come from?
I think honestly, it came from the ability to understand, like, I've always wanted to be positive because I've had situations happen to me that were negative. And I realized that I changed them by how I spoke about myself and how I viewed the situation. Mm. Like prime example, I'll go into a story and, you know, so I was getting ready to go get my MBA and I was applying to different schools. And around this time, this was before you can go online, which if I could have gone online, it would have been great. This is the time you had to interview. You got to go sit in the people's office. They have to tell you about yourself. If you're qualified enough to be in our program. Okay, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, Nancy. Whatever, Janice. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I was going through all these and I literally did like 20 different interviews. And there would be a lot of people that would be like, you're great. But your scores aren't high. This is a high. And for a little bit, it put me in a funk because you do everything they tell you to do. You go to college. You get the grades they ask you to do. You get the recommendations. You do everything. And then now you're telling me because I don't have a certain score on this GMAT test, like I don't have like the 700, 600s, like the 650 or 700s would be in there, that I'm not welcome to come in, not even on a probational status and stuff like that. And it'll put a funk in you because you feel like you've done everything right. But why can't this happen for me? And I feel like that period, I realized, like, hey, I'm not going to let them dictate how I feel. But it took some time to, like, for about a year, I was in a funk, just studying, taking a test, not doing good. When I say the test, at the time, the test cost like $250.
Right.
I took it like five different times. Mm-hmm. So that already is like rent, a car note, whatever it could be, depending on how your car note is with your insurance. Well, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of bumming me out. I took a class. I was driving an hour from where I was to take a class. And then even after taking the class, I did a little better. It was just bumming me out. But then one day I was like, you know something? I'm going to dictate how this situation is. I'm going to make sure that no matter what they say to me, something's going to happen. And when every day I start getting up and be like, you know, this is my day. Someone's going to call me and tell me, hey, we're going to accept you. This is my day. I just kept saying that. And as crazy as it may seem, once I fixed my mind to keep saying that and believing that, sure enough, I got like four different calls calling me, like back to back. Somebody was like, hey, even though you didn't have amnesty, we want to bring you on a probational period. Somebody was like, hey, we want you to come all the way out here to North Carolina. We'll put you in our program. We see you have all this, X, Y, Z. We need more minority diversity. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, you just want to come out to Boston. Boom, boom, boom. And I realized, I was like, why is this happening? I was like, I'm doing the same thing I was doing before. And then I was like, it's because I was changing my thought process.
Mm-hmm.
That whole year, every day I woke up, every day it was, nothing gonna happen to me. Once again, I can't get in this. Once again, I keep trying. Nobody wants to help me. I do everything. This ain't good enough. I'm not gonna do this. And then I realized my power of my tongue was messing up my whole psyche. Mm-hmm. And then, even though some people be like, man, that's not true. That's not whatever. Okay. Well, I tell you this. There's research and science that goes on when people say all the time that depending on how your mind wavelength is, can dictate how your body feels, how you go on with your life, and how you live a long life. And I realized all that going through that whole process. So I use that to kind of change my life and realize that I can change or dictate how I feel about a situation.
That's a very
powerful
story. No, that was a fantastic story. Because I think a lot of it takes, sometimes it feels like it takes so much energy to just shift a thought. And so to go from being in such a deep funk as that, and I can relate because, yeah, they're all for grad school, for getting into any school for anything. There are tests. Getting a teaching credential. When I was going for my teaching credential, there was this one section of this test that I just failed. I was like, what the heck? And then, you know, you pay for training and then all this stuff. But a lot of people that get into that situation, they kind of spiral downward and give up. But for you to literally, I like that. This is my day. And to keep saying that to yourself and realizing that if you could just shift the thoughts, then that might change the trajectory of your path. That's so powerful. And that's just a wonderful example for people to follow. And so this is really cool because you took this and out of that experience, out of that hardship came this podcast where now you're able to reach more people and encourage more people. That's love. I love that. That's
great. Because I took it. I took that same mindset, went to school with it. When people, you know, when you're in grad school, you know, you talk, you have the dreams of, hey, I'm going to go work for this person. I'm going to do this. And I remember being in grad school and telling one of my fellow classmates, I was like, hey, I'm going to go work for an NBA team. They're like, that's not going to happen. You got to work at entry level. You got to start off being a janitor or something. I was like, no, I'm going to work for an NBA team. It's going to happen. Like, no. And then I realized, I was like, hey, I told myself it was the day and I got into grad school. If I just keep telling myself this is going to happen, I could do this. So right. That's what I did again. I just kept telling myself. I kept applying, telling myself. And what did you know? Got an interview for the Hawks. Tried out with 250 other people for their entertainment team, in the sense where you come on, you do the marketing, the hands-on marketing, and then from there you also do some stuff in corporate office to let you kind of like a program. Tried out with 250 other people. Got picked out of 5. Went from there. Was able to work, did well, had me going through the sales program before I decided to leave. But I look all back at it and say, when she told me I couldn't, I had no experience, none at all. But I kept telling myself, I could do this. I did it for grad school. I could do it again.
Right.
Of course, you're going to get the no's along the way. But I kept saying, this is the day. It's going to happen. I'm going to happen. Just keep applying. It's going to happen. Keep applying. It's going to happen. And it happened. That's 6 months later, actually, after I graduated. And the crazy part is, I hate to cut you off. This was around the time when I went to grad school around the time when a recession happened, mm-hmm. a second one. When so I guess it's telling my age a little bit. Around I was going in or when Obama happened with the recession. So, you know, a lot of times there were no jobs.
Right.
And then even afterwards, it was still kind of the clinging effect of going everything, learning and whatever. But it all happened for me. And I just remember saying to myself, it could happen. And then that's why a lot of people have to realize you have to take past stuff that's happened to you that the Lord has made available for you and remember what he's done for you before and he could do it for you again, mm-hmm. even when others don't believe it. And like literally, this is like a classmate that we sat next to each other, like we were cool through the program. Like, no, it's not going to happen. I was like, so what are you going to do? And she went in on and got a job somewhere at a place she didn't even want to because she felt like she had to start there to go up. And I was like, no, I'm just going to shoot for the top. And if I don't get there, I'll land somewhere in the stars. And sure enough, I landed in the stars. I took that job and able to use that job to get another corporate job from there because I met somebody there. And I just kept on going from there, just being able to be like, hey, today's my day. It didn't happen right away.
Right.
Everybody's watching. I want to let you know it didn't happen overnight. It doesn't work like that. But it happened because I continue to keep believing.
Right. You know what I used to do? And I should start, actually, I kind of still do it from time to time. Mm-hmm. But when I can't remember what was happening. I don't remember what was happening in my life. But I think it was like setting New Year's resolutions. And I wanted to try a new way of doing it. Because there's only one New Year's resolution I ever kept. And that was in 2006. And that was to incorporate exercise in my life, like daily. And
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Not daily, but weekly.
hey, we got to start somewhere. It's better than nothing. Right. I always look at it like it's better than nothing. You're starting when others are not starting.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, how can I make this New Year's resolution thing a little bit more powerful? So I wrote down my intentions for the year, and this was 2017. I wrote down my intentions for that year, and then I recorded myself on audio, like saying all my intentions. And every morning when I would wake up, I would listen to it. And sometimes I would even listen to it on repeat on my way to work. And that was really powerful because almost all the intentions I set, I reached. And I think it's because since like with the repetition, with me saying them out loud, with me writing them, it's like in the forefront of my head. So it just changes my focus on everything. And I'm not easily distracted by this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it just kind of narrows me in. But that it's such a powerful exercise.
I definitely believe that because, I mean, you understand being doing the podcast and recording, you understand like you are what you listen to.
Right.
So the simple fact you listening to that daily is like, hey, even I can guarantee you there probably was times when you were just maybe in your bed and getting up and you're like, I'm going to work out for 30 minutes today. Like, why did I just come to my head? because right. it's been so yes. long circulating in your mind. It's like, all right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna mm-hmm. do it. And then you know how the theory goes. Take 21 days to form the habit. Mm-hmm. Form that habit and just so yeah. it's very powerful, your mind is. It's a very powerful tool.
It is. Yeah. So Eric, tell us a little bit how do you stay inspired? Like what inspires you?
I would have to say every day, people inspire me, to tell you the truth, because a lot of my topics, I try to base them on things that I go through. Like my topic was video games, or you got to have QB memory to be successful, because people are like, why QB memory? Because if you ever watch football or if anybody's watching sports, a quarterback throws an interception, but then the next drive he comes back on the field, he has to forget that. And he has to lead them down the field to score. That's like how success is. You can go out there and give your 4 years for a business and have your partner run away with all the cash. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now what happens? You're just going to give up on your next dream? You got to have a QB member. You got to forget that. And you just got to learn from the mistakes you made from the last partner and realize with the new partner, just keep a better eye on them and lead yourself to where you want to be and accomplish your dreams. So you got to have a QB memory at that. So I use stuff like that, or I use topics, are you about that life? Because a lot of times I've noticed that watching videos, people are like, man, I'm about that life. But are you about that life to go after your dreams? Mm-hmm. We're always about that life to do things that we don't need to do. But right. are you about that life to go after your dreams? Meaning you want to put forth the sacrifice. You want to, you know, not spend, not go out. Use your money towards what you want to do. Or I have another topic where I say, let's get rid of these challenges and get you a challenge that's going to better yourself. Like, hey, I have no problem with people doing the TikTok and the dances and everything else that's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem that I only have is, and I say get rid of those challenges and get one that's better for you, is because I don't want to see you do the TikTok every 8, 16 different count dance. And then the next post, I see you, man, I wish I could just have a vacation every day of my life. You can. Mm-hmm. Stop focusing on these challenges and get you a challenge. Like, focus on where you want to be in life, and then you can right. do all the dances you want in the world. Like, right. that type of things I try to incorporate when I have my topics, because I feel like it's going to resonate. Some people may get mad, but you only get mad because you know it's the truth. The truth hurts. And like my brother told me before, it hurt me, yeah. but it was the truth. That's why it hurt.
That's a heavy topic right there, Eric. I think let's talk a little bit about the truth. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, because it's so, if you're not true, first of all, if you're not honest with yourself, just forget everything else. I mean, lying to yourself is going to ruin your relationships, because you're just going to attract liars into your life. Yeah. You're in any situation you find yourself in, it's going to crumble simply because you're not being honest with yourself, and your life will reflect dishonesty.
Yes.
Is this something that you when you talk to people, does this topic come up, or how does this even play into your life? Like, have you noticed where you're just not being honest with yourself?
Well, I feel like I will try to make sure I check myself. Like an Ice Cube said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah. Ice Cube. I like to think about it in the sense where, a prime example, I know a lot of people that have the speed, they do things, they're like, hey, I'm your number one coach guru. I don't even say that. I don't even say I'm a coach guru. Mm-hmm. I don't say any of that. If anything, I tell everybody I'd be an accountability partner, because we're going on this journey together. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting a podcast. It's like a business in the sense where, you know, being consistent, putting out great material that can help you. But I don't get out there and be like, hey, if you want to talk to me, it's going to cost you $9.99. No, if you DM me, I'm going to have full conversation with you and go into depth about stuff and not charge you a dime, because I feel like you got to know yourself. I haven't gotten to that point where I could just start charging people. But I have all the conversations with you in the world about helping you, being an accountability partner with you, and helping you go to the next level. Like, I haven't gotten to that part yet. Now, when it gets to that part, then I will discuss, you know, hey, I could charge or whatever. But now I don't even worry about that. Now I just spend more time about getting the message out, helping you with your goals, helping being a good accountability partner, and showing people who have a 9-to-5 that you could use those job and skills to go after your dream. Because I'm just like how you are. I'm using my 9-to-5 to go after my jobs and go after my dreams and to go after, you know, what I want in life. Because so many times you get bombarded with so many messages from people who say they've done it, but they haven't done it. Or they get you to bait in on these constellation calls. It's going to be $120 for 15 minutes. And you're telling me something I could have YouTubed. So it's just you got to know yourself. So in the sense of me knowing myself, I mean, I don't go into business of selling. Like, I got prime example. I know you probably, when I sent you over my information, not once was it in like, hey, I'm selling something or XYZ coach. It was just like, hey, I got a podcast, talk about different episodes, and let's join together, let's talk. That's what it's all about, because I'm getting a dialogue started. I want to help people with the ability I have and help them go farther. And then from there, we can just continue to grow and get more experience.
You know, you touched on something, you mentioned values, and I think that ties into your truth. Because if you don't know your values, then you will probably be floundering throughout all your life, because your values act as your guidepost. If you know what your top five values are, you'll make a lot more clearer, concise choices in your life. Do you know what your values are? Have you written them down? You do. Okay. Yes. Yeah. It's just, and you know, I had to, I didn't write down my values until, well, okay. Actually, I think the first time I wrote down my values was maybe 4 years ago, but I put them somewhere. I didn't even think about them after that until I was having a conversation with one of my guests, a few months ago, and she mentioned values. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't even remember what my values are. I don't even remember. And so I had to go through and kind of just reassess. And I wrote them down, and it's just, it changes everything. I just feel so much more confident, and I feel just so much more clear when I understand what's important and what matters to me.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. I think when it comes to my values, my number one value is I never do anything for the bad. I never do anything for the bad that's going to make me feel compromised or hurt my integrity or make me feel dirty.
Right.
And I say dirty in the sense where too many times we've seen people, well, it's just money. Nah, it's not just money, because that's how it starts off. If they can get you to get you out your character to do anything for money, then you'll continue to be a slave for it.
Right.
And another thing is, another one of my values is to stay away from sucker stuff. I don't say stuff, I say sucker shh. In the sense where, you know, a lot of people be doing things that you didn't grow up doing or you don't agree with, but people still align themselves with it because it's okay. It's all right if they do that. Mm-hmm. It's okay if, prime example, it's okay if they're disrespectful to people that are helping us, or they talk out of character, or prime example, they steal, or they, no, that's not okay. Because if they do small things like that, what would they do to you? What would they do when you're not around? You know, people don't think like things like that. So, you know, these are just some of my values. And another value always is to put the Lord first. You know, if anybody telling me like, hey, you know, you're coming on, you don't really talk about God, don't really talk. Nah, that's not going to work for me, because that's one of my values. Because, you know, I know a lot of things I've gone through. When I didn't have the Lord in my life, I felt dismayed, crazy. But when I got in line with him and I was able to pray, it helped me, you know, get my mind right, help me understand where I'm going, you know, putting other things above him wasn't getting me where I need to be. When I put him above him, he was showing me where I need to go. So, you know, that's part of my value system. But at the end of the day, we say all these things and it seems easy, but it seems so hard because certain temptations will get around you and make it be like, so we got this money, but what are you willing to do to get it? And people will taunt and temptations will come at you like that. So I'm saying, anybody that's watching, it's easy to say it, but you really got to be stuck in your value and have a foundation, because when you start going to different levels, different temptations come that you got to be aware of and know who you are. That's why a lot of times we see people who you think are doing well, but may fall because they may not have their values, or they'll even speak about like, I'm not going to lie, I kind of didn't, you know, have a foundation. I didn't really know. That's why it's very important to know yourself. And when you know yourself, then you don't get outside your comfort zone. So.
I think that's when you mentioned like comfort zone and knowing yourself, those are two very important concepts, because in order to really grow as a person, either spiritually or emotionally, or grow in your business, you're going to need to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to need to be a little uncomfortable, but you also at the same time, you need to be very honest about what you're willing to do.
Yes.
Because a lot of people will say, I want this fabulous job, I want this wonderful house, but are you really willing? I was actually talking, there was a guest I was talking to about this. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to step outside your comfort zone and do the hard stuff, do the uncomfortable stuff that it takes to get the job, to get the house, to get the whatever? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just are not honest with themselves about that. Yeah. And they end up staying where they are. And then they're like, well, I don't know why I can't get it. I can't. Hello. you're not being honest about.
Yeah. Okay. You're definitely right about that. It's almost like telling my prime example. It's like, hey, I want over 100,000 downloads for my podcast. Okay. Well, are you doing any marketing for it? No, I don't plan to. Right. So how are people outside of your circle going to know who you are?
Right.
I mean, God will make it happen. Oh, don't work like that. Don't work like that. He'll help you, but you got to do your part in the plan.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
you have to take
I definitely understand that. Step. So yeah, you're definitely right about that. You know, being uncomfortable or being comfortable with who yourself while being uncomfortable.
Right. And Angie Legg, she's a personal brand strategist. I think she's featured this week. But we got into this conversation about how a lot of people are scared of success and don't even realize that they're scared of success. Because in order to really be successful, you really have to, number one, you have to step outside your comfort zone and do whatever it is that you need to get done, right? Legally.
Say that nowadays.
exactly. Yeah. And when you kind of have to also step into your power. Like you have to step and assume a new energy, take on a new persona of this confident person who is going to reach this goal. And a lot of times when you step into that new persona, you will lose some of your friends, family, acquaintances who just are not used to this new you. It doesn't mean that you're an arrogant, mean person. Right. It means that now, since you've reached this new level of confidence, the people that you probably attracted in your life who were at the same level of confidence you were prior, you're not vibing with them anymore. Mm-hmm. So either they need to level up and vibe with you, right? Or you're going to come back down and vibe with them and not reach whatever goal you reach. So usually it means that you're going to have to shift some relationships. And that's really scary for people. So they would rather just stay where they are and keep everything status quo than step into this new realm in their life.
Yeah, no, I definitely believe that, because even when you were saying that, I was just thinking about all the people who become successful, and you've seen it as well, and how you have to go from being okay with posting yourself, being consistent with posting your message.
Right.
And even when people are like, I'm tired of hearing that, or you get the word from other people like so-and-so, so they tired of looking at your page because all you do is talk this or talk about your podcast or talk positive. But you got to be willing, because like you said before, you're going to a higher level, you're going to a new frequency, and people aren't used to that. Some people don't want to see you do better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And being successful requires that type of energy that you might get from people. Mm-hmm. Some people will be happy for you, be like, yeah, you do that. You go, girl. And some people will be like, nah, girl, I don't like that, girl. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But that's part of going after being successful. And like you said before, that does scare a lot of people, because you got to think about it. If you have friends you've been knowing for years, mm-hmm. and then now all of a sudden you get some interviews going, you start getting some notoriety going. Mm-hmm. You might hear a little, so how are you and your little show going?
Right.
Why I gotta be little? Like, why am I little? See, whenever I hear little out of somebody's mouth, I'd be like, oh, that's the hater. Like, that's the hater. Why I gotta be little? You know what I'm saying? Oh, I saw you on your little TV, little interview. So, like,
I am so sensitive to that word too. Yeah,
because people will be like, oh, they don't mean nothing. Yes, they do mean something. That's why they're saying little. You can say any word. You can say, hey, I saw you on XYZ show, but when you say, I saw you on that little show.
Like, right. Yeah.
To downplay what I'm looking to do. And
And so when I know that like one of your talking points was understanding the difference between success and what you call non-success. Yep. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I want to say knowing the difference between success and non-success is a simple fact. Like, some people know they're being successful. And mm-hmm. then some people know they have non-success, in the sense where, okay, so you get on social media, you show all these different items, you show all different things. That's grateful. That's great. And some people that got it. There's some people out there that don't have success when they're showing this. And a lot of times we get false reality in a sense where you don't know what's successful and not successful, because to you, you don't know your success. Mm. Because some people be feeling like, if I don't have the big house, big car, all this stuff, I'm not successful. That's a lie.
Right.
You accomplish your goals. You accomplish your dreams. You have a great family. You have a great wife, girlfriend, whoever, spouse, whoever. Mm-hmm. You're successful, but you got to know your success. And a lot of times people don't know their success, and they're confused with being not successful and successful because they don't know who they are and what they need to be accomplished. They're too busy looking at somebody else and thinking that they're the same age as me. That's success. Well, that's not really the success. Your success is determined to you. Mm-hmm. So when I speak about that, the topic, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't, but I thought success means I need to have this and attain this material. No, that's, everybody's not like that. Everybody doesn't need that in life to be successful. And I've realized that over time going through the podcast and talking to people. Some people, you will meet them and they'll be like, hey, I work at XYZ. I've been here 20 years, but I'm happy. I have a roof over my head. My kids are taken care of. They've gone to college, but I'm happy. That's success to them. And the ability of to know that success out of non-success is because you know what's going on. And when I say non-success, it's thought chasing that fake success in the sense where I got to have this. But even when you get it, you're still not happy. You still feel like you're not successful. You got to have something else. So now you're constantly chasing, but you never getting it. And when you are getting it, you're still never filled. I mean, don't get me wrong. They say money won't make you happy. I don't believe that, because I feel like it can alleviate a lot of problems for you. And who doesn't like to wake up and be good? But I will say this, though. Even having a lot of money, if you don't know yourself, there's a reason why people have a lot of money and still got a drug problem, going to rehab, still, you know, got issues going on with their demons, because they never really found the success to them. Because we've read books, or I remember, probably example, I'll give you another good, like the Steve Jobs book. When he lost it all, he was mad that he lost it all, but he was still happy that he was able to create something, because to him, that was success. And him getting it back was more of what he wanted than really the money. He talks about it in this movie and everything else, because it's a simple fact that that was success to him. And a lot of times for us, it's not always about the money, the jewelry, whatever you want to do. It's about knowing you and finding out what is success to you. But like I said, success like 12 different times. But, you know, if you get your message, you get the point. Yeah, so.
Right.
That's why I speak about success and non-success.
Mm-hmm. And I think that ties, well, there are two things. I think all that you were saying ties into values. Because like for some people, a certain level of financial stability, that's very important to them, right? Mm-hmm. While others might really value connection and family and relationships. Oh. If the financial stability is very important to you, then you're gonna make a different choice, because that's what you value, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. That's it. But if, you know, if connection, relationships, you're going to make. So, but if you're not clear on what it is and you're just going by what people are telling you you should do, or you're comparing yourself to John, Jane, and Mary, mm-hmm. It's going to be so frustrating.
It is. It really is. Like on one of my recent episodes, I realized this, like starting my podcast, that, you know, when you're starting it, you don't realize people are actually listening that you don't know that actually write in. So one of my episodes is Free Knowledge Fridays. A young lady emailed me and she's like, hey, I'm going after my dreams, but all my friends are laughing at me because I'm not making any money. I'm not doing them. And then I think when I was explaining to her, she had to realize that even though she's going after her dreams and her friends are laughing, she's not making the money. She's finding her success, because that's what's making her happy. Mm-hmm. Instead of just going to get a job and trying to appease her friends, she's finding her success, which is going after my dreams, attaining what I want. And when I attain it, that's my success. Because a lot of times we'll get around friends, they'll make us feel a certain way, and then we'll feel like, I gotta go get this, I gotta go do this. Mm-hmm. But then, like you said, you do it, and like you said, your values, you're not happy, you're just going through the motion, and now you have no success, and then now you're just pretty much keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm. And I just had a recent conversation with a psychotherapist, and he infuses the spiritual with the psychology. And he was saying that we are all whole, right? Uh-huh. We not have wholeness, but we are whole. I think "are" is the word, right? We are whole, but we experience so much of our lives that our wholeness gets buried beneath all the trauma and all the hardships. And so that's like what we are always experiencing is just like the pain and the suffering. Mm-hmm. And the point of life or the work that we would need to do to kind of experience that wholeness again is just to excavate all of that, mm-hmm. that suffering, mm-hmm. to get rid of that need for always filling up our life with stuff to try and feel whole. We have to actually feel the pain first, excavate the pain, and then experience our wholeness. But we're so addicted to trying to, in the moment, bury the pain with whatever. Some of us like to shop. Some of us like to eat. Some people do more destructive things like drugs, or you're addicted to sex or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's just, it's a very, how did he say? It takes a lot of hard work, as you said earlier. It takes a lot of hard work to really focus in and experience the wholeness beneath all the
luck. It makes a lot of sense. It kind of reminds me of one of the books that I read. It's called The 50th Law by the 50 Cent Robert Greene. I discussed it on one of my episodes on What to Do Wednesdays. What to Do Wednesday, I discuss books and different people. And what you just said, it makes simply sense. It's a sense where when we're going after our success, instead of staying focused on it, or when we're going after being a better person, instead of staying focused on it and clearing everything out of ourselves, we like to join distractions to help us pass the time, or helping us, you know, realize that we're trying to fix ourselves. Like, okay, I know I need to spend time with figuring out what I like, figuring out what kind of person I am. But instead, I'm going to distract myself by going out, buying this, doing that, going on this. And it's distracted me from actually taking time to cleanse myself. Mm-hmm. And then in that book, he discussed that a lot of times people want success. And instead of staying consistent with going after their success and their dream, they use distractions. And in the books he discussed, people use drugs, drinking, mm-hmm. you know, other things just so they can pass the time, because, you know, boredom is the worst enemy. And that's what it is when you're fixing yourself. It can be considered bored because you take so much time fixing yourself, and that's not cool. But you want fast, fly-by-night distractions, going out, kicking it, video games, whatever it may be. You want that to alleviate the boredom.
Right. Yeah. That's. So, and a lot of people can
don't get like boredom.
Yeah, and people like you can die. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at DMX this weekend. Yeah. How sad was that? Right.
It is sad. It is sad.
So that's pretty. So then, how, Eric? Okay. Because you mentioned how powerful the role your faith plays in your life. What are some, do you have like a spiritual practice, or maybe it's not necessarily spiritual, but is there some type of like daily ritual that you observe to kind of keep yourself focused? Mm-hmm. How do you keep yourself focused?
Well, when I first wake up in the morning, I usually say a prayer in my head, and it's always a prayer of like, hey, thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for my body working. Thank you, God, you know, for just allowing me to have another day. And today is the day that I'm, whatever I'm asking for, I'm like, today's the day I'm going to get it. Today's the day I'm going to get it. Today's the day I'm going to get it. Sure, sometimes I don't get it that day, right. But I got to tell my wife, I just keep saying it.
Right.
And it's come. So I'm going to keep riding that out and just keep believing it. But when I wake up in the morning, I take the time to say a prayer. And then I go in and then I read like different devotionals for the day, just kind of get my mind together and get it situated, because I've noticed a lot of days I get up, start the day, and I get worked up. I get rowdied about little things like, hey, the oatmeal spilled over in the microwave, or hey, I go outside in my car and all of a sudden I'm blocked in by the neighbor and stuff like that. Things like that I shouldn't even be bothered by, but it bothers me because I'd be like, I didn't even take a moment to just gather myself first and to pray, and, you know, and I realized waking up every morning, taking those moments, closing my eyes, thanking the Lord for today, asking for a good day, asking for favor with the people that I encounter and come across with, has been very, very, very successful for me and in the days that I've been productive. And then even in the days that I have prayed and I still may have those moments where I get aggravated, it always comes back to me where I'm like, I'm aggravated because why? Okay, I did this. All right, let's bring it back. Realize it's not that serious. Okay, there we go. You have to have self-talk with yourself. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people think talking to yourself is bad, but no, it's not. Right. I feel like talking to yourself could really alleviate a lot of issues if people were just like, okay, why am I mad? Okay, I'm mad because someone's blocking me in. But is it that serious if it was an accident by them?
Right.
Right. It is an accident. And instead of me running to them, hey, you go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, I wake up, say a prayer, thank the Lord, ask for a favor for the day, and make sure, you know, just have a good head, good body, good spirit.
That's beautiful. I think that, yeah. I think it's so important to do that, whether it's prayer or meditation. For me, it's meditation. I wake up and I just breathe, take a deep breath and
feel good. Don't you?
Yeah.
Feel good,
doesn't it? Feels wonderful. Deep breath through the stomach.
Yeah.
And, and that it's amazing how relaxed and calming that is. For some people it's writing in the morning, or, you know, making a cup of tea, but anything to kind of just get you in the mindset for having a productive, positive day, even though you're going to have some plot twists in the day, that will equip you with how to manage and respond to them. Right.
Yeah. Definitely. I always feel like you got to have a couple minutes to try to start your day. Like if you have to be at work at 9, I would advise getting up at like, you can 7:38. That way you have a couple minutes to gather yourself before you have to feel like you're rushed. Because a lot of times when we're rush, we get to our place of employment, wherever we got to be, and we feel like, I haven't had no time for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then we kind of go in already like a ball of angry, you know, angry at 9. But if we have the time to just kind of sit, gather our thoughts, like, all right, it's another day. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be successful at this.
Right.
All right, let's go. And then, you know, just a little pep talk to yourself. You'd be surprised. Like, it makes a world of a difference from you going in angry to you going in like, you know something? You go in, they come at you with craziness. I'm not even worried about it. I knew today's my day. I'm not going to let them bring down my positive energy.
Right. And you know, when you said talking to yourself might seem weird, that's not weird at all. You know why, Eric? Because we're always talking to there's that incessant voice that's always chattering, and it's usually the negative, nasty, abusive stuff it's saying. And so why not just question it?
Yeah.
Inquiries, what you get. So why am I angry about this?
Yeah.
What's beneath this, right? Mm-hmm. And encouraging yourself. Sometimes, yeah, I will say it's okay, Ebony. It's okay.
You're
fine, right? You just made a mistake, Ebony. It's going to be okay. But that, I think that's so important to consciously talk to yourself in a positive way to counter all that unconscious craziness.
Yeah, it definitely is, because when you're at work, you're dealing with other people. You don't know what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, how do I say this? Well, if we're just being honest, you don't know what demons they have going on with them.
Right, right.
Because people will come to the workplace and have demons out the yin-yang, and they're taking it out on you. So you have to be able to know, like, hey, so-and-so said I didn't do the report right, but it's all right. I'm learning from this. I'm going to do better the next time.
Right.
You got this. You can do this, Eric. You have the ability. There's no problem. And just little talks like that, because you don't know. Like, we've all had bosses that just fly out the deep end, because you don't know, at home they could just not be getting enough hugs.
Right.
Or maybe they have their own thing going on. Or maybe, you don't know. I don't know. You know, people are different. People change like the seasons. And then, you know, one minute they hate you, next minute they love you. So while all that change is happening, they're still spewing things off to you that could be considered defensive, hurt your feelings, make you, you know, throw you out your psyche. And it's always important to have your psyche right. And I've realized that a lot of times, like with the different jobs, the different, you know, working at Fortune 500 companies, dealing with different people, everybody's not the same. Everybody doesn't come in with the mindset of being respectful at the worst thing. Some people come in being real out of pocket, as I like to say. So you got to be able to have your psyche right to be like, I'm not going to let them get me out of pocket, because if I get out of pocket, I'm going to get out of pocket. So, you know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure that you got your psyche right. So I always tell people when they talk to me, I'm like, man, you got to have your psyche right. They're like, what do you mean? And I tell them, I'm like, man, I've worked at different startups, and some startups I've worked at, I've been the only, you know, African-American there. And, you know, you got to be able to have your psyche right to deal with things that you might hear and not be able to get out of pocket and be able to understand, like, I got my psyche right. I'm here to do my job. I can handle the situation in the correct way. And all that goes back to, once again, your value system. Once again, knowing who you are. Once again, also knowing that you got the motivation in yourself that you can do what you're going to do because you were hired to do it. Not only will you do it, you're going to do it to the best of your ability and be successful.
That's a wonderful place to end. That was wonderful. Oh my goodness. Eric, this has been a wonderful conversation.
I'm glad. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you having me on your show. It means a lot because I've seen all your past guests. They've all been great interviews. Yeah. They've all had great information. And I'm just thankful to be here.
Well, thank you so much. I feel inspired. This is wonderful. Yeah. Tell us where we can find you, Eric.
So you can find me, of course, on Instagram. That'd probably be the best place. It's The Life and Times of Eric, exactly how you spell it. Except the only difference is I put an X in and not an and because I wanted to be cool. So it's THELIFEXTIMESOFERIC, Life and Times of Eric. I also have www.lifeandtimesoferic website. Check out the podcast. And if you have any questions, just DM me. I'm always down to talk. Also, season 3 is slowly dropping. Over 200 episodes. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday is a different segment. Mondays is Motivated Mondays, where we discuss different topics to get you motivated, like how you can use LinkedIn to better your job and skills, go after your dreams. Wednesdays, What to Do Wednesdays, where we discuss different authors, different books, and things you should try out. And Free Knowledge Fridays is where I answer questions that people have emailed, DM'd, and texted me. And I just try to give them the best information to help them. Some questions are kind of crazy. That's out of my field. But I still give them the best answers to help them. And, you know, every week is just a different segment. So definitely check it out.
And Eric, I know you're so full of some wonderful advice. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you have any final words of wisdom, like particularly for people who are in a funk like you were a few years ago and feel like there's no way out.
I would have two things I always say on my show. And the first one is keep living your life, because if you don't, your life is not going to live you. And I say that on my show because it means is if you don't go out there and live your life and do the best that you can, your life is not going to live you. Your life is only going to do what you allow it. If you allow it to be mediocre, your life's going to continue to let you be mediocre, never giving you what you want. But if you go out there and you live your life, I guarantee you, your life will give you more than what you ask for. And another thing I always say is continue to stay the 3 B's. Continue to stay bigger, better, and badder. And the reason I say that is because when you continue to stay bigger, everything you do, you want to do bigger than what you do. Continue to stay better, because every day you want to make sure you improve on who you are, being a better person, spiritual, mentally, physically, and all around. And continue to stay better. Just know you're a bad person. I mean, hey, you made it this far in life. You continue to make it far. And whatever you've gone through, you've made it through. And then whatever you're going through right now, you will make it through. As long as you continue to stay better, and know that you will be better and you will continue to be bigger.
Wonderful. Eric B., thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah.
I hope you feel as inspired as I feel after having had that conversation with Eric. He has a lot of experience in transforming his mindset and overcoming challenges and just talking to people. And I think that it's a great lesson in what is possible when you are willing to experience possibilities. And the way that Eric kind of primed his life for all these possibilities is he first changed his mindset just with like his thoughts and words, right? And I feel that this conversation is going to inspire a lot of people to really pay attention to their thoughts and to make simple choices in how they talk to themselves. And then they will start to see things shift in their life. So if you want more information about Eric, I would highly suggest you visit his website, listen to his podcast, follow him. Is he on social media? I believe he is on social media. Follow him on any social media that he is on. Because it's quite inspiring. And in the meantime, also visit zazo.com and sign up for my weekly newsletter. Actually, it's more like a bi-weekly newsletter at this point. And follow me on social media. I'm at Twitter at Ebony Haywood, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Motivation to Write. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week when we will have another conversation with another fabulous guest. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.